Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
It's Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Out.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker. Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Oh, shit!
It is Wednesday, December 3rd, 2014. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris. I do have on me tonight, on with me tonight, geez, Speedball, Mike Bailey. What's going on, Mike?
I'm very good, sir. Hey, before the show, you warned me that your intro was long and obnoxious, and I'd like to say it did not disappoint.
yeah, that's a, well, it's good to have you on, man.
I love it, though. You have everyone. You got some Zandig in there. That's great. I love to hear that.
yeah, it definitely covers a lot of bases.
It's heartwarming.
So I think where we left off last time was you were saying that, you know, a lot of what got you into wrestling is watching guys like Loki and those type of indie guys.
That's right.
And you had started to say too that, you know, your brother was in wrestling. Who was your brother, you know, wrestling wise?
Oh, my brother's wrestling name was Lex Lerman. He was he wrestled in Quebec mostly, a bit of Ontario too.
Okay. I know you were saying you started, what, 05-ish, you said?
Oh, 06. January 06. Of 06 I started wrestling.
Okay. When the whole, you know, they called it the Canadian invasion happened on the, you know, the East Coast Indies over here, you know, what was your thoughts on that? And, you know, did you see any openings and stuff back then?
Well, yeah, it started a movement in Quebec where everyone was pretty much inspired to do, like, It felt good to see that for other French Canadians, since like Sylvain Grenier could make it and could actually do something with wrestling, there was this moment, and I think that was where it all started pretty much for Kevin Steen, where a federation in Quebec City brought in Christopher Daniels to wrestle him.
Okay.
And then they had the match, and it was the first time Quebec actually opened up to the American indie wrestling world, which just pretty much changed everything from there on, and then from that, the Canadian invasion pretty much started, and that just inspired a lot of people in Quebec that they actually could go somewhere with wrestling. and not just stay here in the province and make very little money.
Yeah. And I asked last time, but I figure I'll rehash it again. You have your martial arts background. You know, going into wrestling, I mean, martial arts, I think the object is to avoid punishment. In wrestling, you kind of have to learn how to take punishment. So what was the transition like there?
Well, it wasn't too bad because there's a lot of, you know, in competition, martial arts, the object is obviously to avoid getting hit. But in practice, you know, we just practice just hitting each other, full contact, and just, you know, just to practice the moves. So that sort of gets you used to and toughened up by just, you know, practice consists of hours of me just kicking a guy, and then he kicks me as hard as we can. And we just keep going. So that's pretty much a lot like pro wrestling. So
okay. It
works pretty well, yeah.
Going into it, I know, you know, obviously there's a lot more full contact than, you know, an actual fight or, you know, your karate. I don't even know what type of discipline are you?
It's Taekwondo, Olympic Taekwondo. I don't know if you've seen it, the style where the people are all geared up and hitting each other, yeah.
Okay. In wrestling, obviously, you have to somewhat pull things and not, you know, kick people in the face. Was that a hard thing to do, or?
No, once you get control of your kicks and your movements, it's sort of, you know, you sort of still have to pull some kicks, especially if you're doing like a combo or something where you can't just throw full power into the kicks. You sort of have to always keep control, right? So that just transitions nicely. One of the things about martial arts that to transition to wrestling is that I just used to learn my body in a very, very general sense. Probably the best thing people can do for pro wrestling. Even if it's just like, it doesn't even have to be martial arts or anything fighting related. If you've done gymnastics or any kind of CrossFit or any sport where you have to just move your body, you've got a leg up on most people at that point already.
Right. Now, you know, going in, was it basically the low-key influence that made you want to do the style that you're doing?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You know, you were saying, you know, low-key was one of the people you were into. Was his style more or less what you were looking to get into when you decided to, you know, go the road you did?
Right, because it was very flashy, more so than a lot of other indie guys, but it also had impact, right? He always looked like he was doing something serious and doing a very serious low-key face at the same time. That's what I liked about it, is that he mixed the sort of the high flying and all the flashiness and the fact that he was really impressive, but also looked like he was fighting a guy.
Right. I've seen, you know, some different things. You teamed up a lot with Bucks Belmar. When did that start, and how did that get together?
Well, that started in Quebec. I've known Bucks Belmar for a long time. We've wrestled against each other and with each other for the past, like, probably 5 years, about 100 times. And we just know each other so well that just the transition from fighting each other to teaming together just happened organically. Even though our styles are sort of not similar, the contrast works perfectly, and we know how to match it pretty well. We know how to make it work, yeah.
Cool. How did it come about? Are you getting booked in CZW? Was that the first time you came over to the U.S.?
It wasn't the first time I came over to the U.S. I had for ISW before, but it was actually thanks to Drew Gulak, whom I'd wrestled in Battle War here in Quebec, and he just told me to email some of my stuff to the CZW, and it just went on from there. I had my first match, Best of the Best, and the fans wanted me to come back, and they made themselves heard, and I've been there ever since, yeah.
I've gone into Best of the Best, you know, it was a, you know, big tournament, been going since 2001.
Right.
Did you have any knowledge of Best of the Best? I know you're a big indie fan.
Yes, I'd seen most of them. If you asked me the winners, I couldn't tell you, but I'm sure over 10 years, I've watched it all in bits and pieces, and most of it in music videos on YouTube. But yeah, I was familiar with the concept and the tournament and all the guys in it.
Well, now in that match, you know, you had with Fox and Everett, right? And the kind of theme of the match was you were more or less the target, and you know, kind of had to battle your way through it. You know, how did you guys come up with that concept, or you know, how'd you go into that pretty match?
Well, that's pretty logically how it would happen, right? Just I'm not known over there, and they're both, you know, they're both on fire over there, especially our Fox. So, like, naturally, the people are not going to think I'm going to win, right? They're just
right.
not. So it's just sort of build from there, just from that idea.
Yeah, it was definitely a good match, and you know, I was there. I wanted to see you back as well. It was a couple months before they brought you back, and then you came back more or less to a heavyweight title shot. I know there was a couple things that went on, and it was you know, kind of unexpected. How did you find out about the whole thing, you know, going down?
Well, I was supposed to. Aaron Fox was supposed to wrestle that night, but his wrist was broken, so they wound up. I didn't have a match going there. I didn't know what I would do, and he just came up to me and go, "Hey, Fox is hurt. Do you want to fight Biff?" I was like, "Sure." I'd fought Biff before in C4 Wrestling, over in Canada,
okay.
which they released as a free match recently. So, by all means, go and check that out if you haven't. But yeah, I'd worked with Biff before. It was a crazy match. I worked with him there at CZW again, and I worked with him again twice last weekend. So,
oh,
we've definitely we've developed the thing since. Yeah.
Was there, you know, I know you've wrestled him before, as you said, but was there a lot of pressure going into, you know, working a heavyweight title match in CZW, a company, you know, you've only worked for once before?
Of course, but there always is, right? If I'm not going into a match stressed, I'm not doing enough in the match, but yes, there was a lot of pressure. I knew people would be watching. I knew people would be thinking, most likely, why would they give this guy a title shot, right? Me being a 150-pound skinny white dude and just showing up there, you know? So I had to make sure everyone watching would get me and would just not just... Well, we all knew this jobber was going to get his ass whipped, you know what I mean?
Right. As you said, you know, you're not a heavy guy. Does that more or less, you know, put you in a position where you know, I mean, you have to turn it up 100% as far as your intensity and all those things?
It puts me in a position where I know I have to hit like a guy that weighs 300 pounds. I have to hit just as hard as Biff Busick is going to hit me, and as hard as every other heavyweight is going to just try to hit me. Yeah.
Have you had any situations where guys kind of doubted you going into the match, like opponents, people maybe didn't see what you know, you've had?
Of course, all the time. Happens all the time where I surprise people with, like, you know, because there's a lot of people in wrestling who do martial arts or just throw a lot of the kicks but don't have, you know, they aren't precise with it. They aren't 100% with it. They sort of just improvise their kicks, you know. So people are usually, some people who don't know are usually pretty shocked when they find out I actually can kick and I can throw shit like a real black belt.
Sure. What's the difference between, like, the Canada crowd and the U.S. crowd?
Typically, U.S. crowds are a lot more wrestling savvy, right? So in Quebec stuff, in Quebec, a lot of times you can afford to do more cliches, try to, you know, just pop the crowd and do the regular wrestling spot. Where in the U.S., they've seen it a lot more times. They know what's going on. So if you just do the same routine as everyone else, then people are not going to care, right? So you really have to switch it up a lot more and just complicate things a lot more in order to make it a lot less obvious, in order to keep the fans guessing and not know what's going to happen, because the most U.S. wrestling fans have seen a lot of wrestling, so they sort of know, you know, they know the spots, so you have to really mix it up.
Sure. You also wrestled Shane Strickland in a match for the Wired title. It's like you've got a title shot at everything they got over there.
CZW is great. CZW is great. I am 0-5 right now, and I have gotten 3 title shots. Which, I thank them. I'm sure they know what they're doing. But if this was the UFC, I'd have been cut a long time ago. So I think they pretty much need a win right now. There's only one guy who called me on that on Twitter. And I just replied, "How dare you?" And he apologized. Very nice guy. Very nice guy.
All right. So what was your thoughts on the match with Shane Strickland?
Again, Shane is one of those guys who's just, he's hot right now. He's doing great. He's going everywhere, and there's a reason for that. So it's just, I feel lucky that I get to sort of hop on his bandwagon where people don't really know me and they know him. You know what I mean? And he knows me. He's seen me before. So he was just, you know, he was ready to put on a show.
Sure. What would you say was your worst experience in wrestling thus far?
Oh, God, there's been a lot of bad ones. my worst experience. Well, I've definitely done a lot of shows, like in Quebec, where people, you know, just expecting big stuff and renting out a big arena and then getting 10 people showing up and just,
right,
having a long, miserable match in front of no one, where you sort of just fighting and trying to get people to react, but all five people are there just, they're only five, right? And you're wrestling for them, which is, they're having fun, but that's about it.
Yeah.
A lot of empty arena moments in my career, yeah. Especially early on.
Sure. Have you had any big injuries since you started up?
I've got my nose broken pretty badly by Scotty the Hacker O'Shea, who wrestles up in Canada, on a spinning back elbow. It was C4 Wrestling's huge season finale. It was a six-man match for the title. And right in the beginning, he just cracked my nose with a spinning elbow, just bled all over the place. I just had to leave right away. Badly broken. I had to get surgery to get it fixed shortly thereafter.
Wow. Did that make you more hesitant coming back from that?
Nope. Couldn't care less.
All right.
I had surgery to fix the nose, and I competed in the National Taekwondo Championships a week after.
Well,
so that's how little I give a fuck.
Yeah. You know, you're over in Canada, and I've heard a lot of people had problems, you know, with the borders. Have you had the same difficulties, or?
So far, it's not been so bad, but it's a stress every time. There's a lot of stories about a lot of people that have gotten messed up from the border and sort of put a stop on their career for a short while. So I've been lucky so far, but I'm really, it stresses me out every time, yeah.
Sure. Now, teaming up with Bucks and CZW, was that something that you guys pitched because you were familiar with tagging together, or did, you know, they want to go in that direction?
Well, it's fine that they did. I guess we you know, we ride together from Quebec, so it's natural that they put us as a team, right? They did, not to compare myself, but they did the same thing with Steen and Generico. And
yeah.
I guess it's pretty much this thing where we just ride together, know each other, so they assume we're going to tag well, and it's been going well so far. Again, we knew each other really well, having wrestled about 100 times, so it just worked.
All right. Yeah. With Steen and Generico, you know, making it now into NXT, and, you know, Generico's, you know, been doing really well over there, and Steen, I think, is debuting coming up.
Right.
You know, what's the overall feeling on the independent scene in Canada about it?
Everyone's happy. He's our boy, you know? Quebec is funny in that we're the only French speaking nation in North America, right? So we were pretty much isolated from the rest of the world. And every time someone from Quebec, you know, makes it, even when it's a singer that ends up just singing in the U.S. or an actress or whatever, we all just cheer for that person. As a nation, it's great. And everyone in Quebec has just been cheering for Steen and Generico since the beginning. So just to see them make it is, everyone's happy. There's no other way to say it.
Sure. Now, you know, I've had a bunch of different opinions on this. Surprisingly enough, Teddy Hart was one of the people who chose Shawn Michaels. Being from Canada, do you go with Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart?
Well, I go with Bret Hart. National pride. Go Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
He's done enough for himself.
Yeah. speaking of Teddy Hart, what's your feelings on him, and, you know, how does the Canada independent scene feel about Teddy?
You know, I wouldn't know how the rest of Canada feels about about Teddy Hart in Quebec, we feel fine. Personally, I've heard a lot of stories on him that there's a lot of guys that people will, you know, talk bad about, and then you meet them and you go, wow, that's the nicest guy in the world. So I'm waiting to meet Teddy Hart so I can judge if he's the nicest guy in the world or dick, like everyone says. But from what I can see, he's just incredibly athletic and doing good for himself. So, I mean.
Sure.
I like him.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and he's just a character. I mean, you know, the stuff that comes out of that guy's mouth is like no other. So it's just
But there's been so many guys throughout my wrestling career that people have told me, hey, stay away from that guy. He's weird or he's dangerous and he'll screw you or whatever. And we went into business together and things always work out fine. I think people get it up in their head when they're working with someone that's a bit crazier than normal, that person's crazy, and then they get defensive and on their heels, and you know, that's when bad things happen. But if you wait for people to show how bad they are before treating them like they are, you know, things work out fine.
Right. You worked a lot of your matches, you know, the ones that I've seen, like an action scene and, you know, an action movie or something. What are some of your favorite action movies?
Oh, any old Jackie Chan, any of his old Chinese films, they're all amazing. They're all great. They're all real stunts, so I like that. So obviously I like Ung Bak also. Any Tony Jaa stuff I love to watch. And again, just for the hell of it, all the old 80s kickboxing karate movies are great. Kickboxer, Bloodsport, all that.
Okay. What are some of your favorite matches that you've had thus far?
My favorite matches? My matches with Kevin Steen, especially the second one at C4, was great. I wrestled El Generico for like 4 or 5 years ago, which was a blast too. My latest matches with Biff Busick that I had at Beyond Wrestling and C4 Wrestling this weekend, and my other ones, the one from CZW from New Heights and the other one from C4 Wrestling, those are probably some of my favorite matches ever.
All right. What are some, dream matches that you have? Obviously, you know, I'd probably say Low Ki is one of those guys, right? But
right, of course.
Beyond that,
Low Ki and AJ Styles
are
just. There's so many people right now that are doing so good that I'd love to wrestle. There's Matt Sydal, who's just back on the indie scene. I'd love to have a chance to go at it with him. There's a lot of other guys like AR Fox. I can't wait to wrestle one more time, especially one on one would be great. There's all the Rich Swans, the Johnny Garganos, the Anthony Yeeses, the people who have been just killing it right now that I'd love to get a chance to get my hands on.
I have a feeling like it's only a matter of time before you're taking the U.S. Indies, you know, by storm. Have you been contacted by like the other feds, the PWGs and the Dragon Gates and those guys yet?
No, not yet. I get a lot of people on Twitter just tweeting at me that I should go, or tweeting at them that they should book me, but I'm still waiting.
All right. Which are there any of those companies that you're really looking, like you're waiting for that one?
Yes, PWG, Dragon Gate, and Evolve. That's where I'd love to go work right now. That's where I think the best wrestling in the world is happening right now. So that's where I'd like to go.
Sure. What are your overall goals in wrestling? Like, where are you trying to get?
I'm not trying to get anywhere specific. I just see people have just awesome-looking careers and great lives made from pro wrestling, where they just get to travel and have fun and make money doing that. So that's pretty much the goal. I'm not looking for anything specific. Like, I don't want to headline WrestleMania, or I don't want a main event in Japan or whatever. I just want to travel, have fun, and make money.
Oh, yeah. What were some of your favorite matches? Like you said, you were an indie fan, and what were some of your favorite matches, just as a fan?
Speaking of action scenes, the early matches with Low Ki and Amazing Red from the first couple of Ring of Honor shows, those will always be classics in my book. It was probably the best one. There's a lot of AJ Styles stuff. It was that crazy three-way from early Ring of Honor, Poland, and Loki and AJ Styles, which I just loved. So many matches from there on, yeah.
Yeah. going into CZW, obviously they have somewhat of a stigma and, you know, known for some deathmatch wrestling. Was that something that you've ever, you know, gone into the area of?
Deathmatch wrestling?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I'm not, well, I am opposed to it. I'm very scared of anything that will cut me. I am not looking forward to bleeding, but I don't know if the timing seems right, who's to say?
Okay. Yeah, because I figured too, you were in, you're in Canada with the, you know, they did the same kind of thing over there. And I was just wondering if you've ever ventured into that area.
Not really, no. I've done a bit of hardcore stuff. I did a Fans Bring the Keyboards match at C4 Wrestling, which wound up being pretty bloody. But that's as far as I went. That's as deep as I went in that area.
Were you into the WWE product, you know, back before you were into the indies or any of that stuff?
Yes, of course. When I was a kid, I just that's how I got into wrestling in the first place. Like everyone, I assume. And I still enjoy it, watch it from time to time. It's still fun. I mean, the people on there are still athletes and talented. So of course, I enjoy looking at it.
Sure. And what was, you know, some of your interest back then, as far as like your favorite, you know, guys to watch or whatnot?
Well, my favorite wrestler when I was a young child was X-Pac for some reason.
Okay.
Probably because of the kicks. But then I just got high on the local high fly, like Rey Mysterio for a while, the Hardy Boys I loved. All that kind of people, yeah.
Not a big Steve Blackman fan?
No, not a big Steve Blackman fan. He sold himself as a huge martial artist, but if you look at his kicks and his matches, like he can barely move. He just looked like a huge bodybuilder guy that just muscles hinder him from moving properly. So no, not a Steve Blackman fan. A huge Ken Shamrock fan, no?
Okay.
Yeah, he was legit.
Yeah, for sure. Outside of wrestling, you know, what's your interest like? What are you into?
Martial arts, boxing, and workers' rights.
Oh, all right. I think that's pretty much all I got. Like I said, I don't have a whole lot of history on you. It was great to have you on. I'd definitely like to have you back on again in the future. And, if you have anything you want to plug, shout out, anything, the floor is yours.
Yeah, at Speedball Bailey on Twitter. And crazy shows at Beyond Wrestling this weekend. Back-to-back Saturday, Sunday, there was Alive and Kicking and the tournament for tomorrow. And both crazy shows that just got released, so you should go and check those out. There's my C4 wrestling match with Biff Busick that got released recently, so please check that and just look further there to C4 Wrestling and see all the great stuff they have to offer.
Okay, awesome. Like I said, thank you again for coming on. I know it's kind of difficult, but, you know, either way, I appreciate it, man.
Sorry about the problems. Thank you, sir.
No worries. Have a good night, man.
All right. You too.
There you go. That was Speedball Mike Bailey. So you're going to hear a lot about this guy. This guy is tremendously talented. I mean, it's just, there's not enough I could say about, you know, his ability in the ring, his intensity, and you're going to hear a lot about this guy. So look forward to having him back on in the future. You know, there's a bunch more indie matches that I've seen over here with him. Definitely going to check into that C4 stuff because he's done a whole lot there, you know, previous to the U.S. stuff. So I'm going to take a little break, come back, and talk about some things. Let me see what I got here. And something, Jesus. All right. Shit, I had a track right up here. I'm so organized, it's ridiculous. All right, here we go. Siegel.
Now listen. The crowd favorite, DJ White Owl, is in the building.
Silence to the land, flowers in the attic, nightmare on Elmwood Ave, power napping, and side patches. Loud package, full of satisfaction, new street crowd reaction. I ride in jail for I stand for a grand jury. They run up on you and your bitch like that's your man shorty. I can spot a weak link from a mile away. It's like the uncle that you only see on holidays. They say I fuck my chances up a lot of ways. But now I see so many niggas trying to ride the wave. Tropical haze, Frankie Beverly and Maze. They rock a fresh pair of shades like I'm Johnny Cage. 25 bottles of champagne, I breathe that. Life is a beach, I got my feet in the sand. The preachers to the choir, the reachers to the fire. Pull a phoenix out my pocket,
I bring the heat like De Niro and Val Kilmore. High scores for major figures getting my deal on. Smooth criminal like MJ getting my thrill on. BC, I am legend getting my will on. I'm like milk and gears and top bill on. Spent the mill on, these dozens with dry still on. Champ in the kitchen like George getting my grill on. Ball like Magic Johnson running the flit on. We don't play, this ain't no fresh score miss song. Anything I spit on, classic when I get on. I'm dangerous, Kush we the angel dust. So rock chase, got me in my zone.
I'm in my zone. DJ right out,
like a duck to gut you out, twist you up, you can get clipped and burned. Yeah, I'm back on my bully shit. Who wanna pull it with a nipple? Who fair not? Some talk I hear not. My MP a clear block. Say if I care about your tattoo teardrop. All you do is headshots, machine guns and black clock. F'n with red dots, chest neck and head shots. Crush on your ear socks. Touch me a kick rock. Shoot me a dick shot. Shoot me, you get killed. Your wig, you get pilled. More clips to get filled. Fuck you, psychotic or high off that product. Lay off them e-pills. BC, PE number one, no sequel. What? Ain't no more to it.
You're in the mix. In the mix.
All right, there you go. Obviously, one of the big things, big major topics that people are talking about is CM Punk has finally broken his silence. He did it on the Art of Wrestling podcast with Colt Cabana, and I really, really liked it. I've been Team Punk the whole way, you know, so everybody shitted on him. And from the start, people were just completely sold on the he quit, he quit, he quit. He walked away, and turns out that he was actually fired. Now, of course, initially he walked away and, you know, leading to him being fired, but, and he fired on the day of his wedding at that. But, you know, there was so much more to it other than, you know, what was initially put out there, and everybody just had him, you know, just pegged as a quitter, or as he said, they would keep telling him on Twitter, he's a quieter because they can't spell. But, you know, he really had a lot to say about different things, and I could understand his side of things. You know, I'll say one thing that I've always kind of seen him as somewhat of an arrogant guy, but I'll also say that I think it's that arrogance that got him where he got. He survived and thrived and succeeded huge in a company that really didn't want him there. You know, guys like you have a guy like Triple H at, you know, his level of power and his influence on the company, not liking you at all. Now imagine succeeding, and that dude, I don't think you could say that anybody else has succeeded that well with a top guy in the office not liking them. I mean, it's tremendous what he accomplished. So I, you know, I don't fault him for having that attitude and having that, you know, that, you know, I don't even know if arrogance is the right word. I mean, but, you know, that confidence about himself that he wasn't going to take anybody's shit. Sure, he walked away for money or whatever the case is, but, you know, he made a good chunk of change. I'm sure a lot more than he's ever made on the indies. And when it comes down to it, yeah, there was a lot more people getting paid for doing less. than he was doing. This guy was working the house shows. He was working through injuries. He'd be on, you know, a 4 to 6 week rehab on an injury, and they'd book him 3 weeks in into a show, you know, and they'd have the WWE doctors calling his doctor and getting him cleared by saying, hey, yeah, he looks all right, you know, and he'd have to fight and, you know, tooth and nail just to get the correct rehab done on his injuries, which, you know, is kind of crazy. He told the whole story about his staph infection, which was fucking terrible. Like, they were more or less telling him, nah, we're not cutting that thing open. We're not going to drain that. No, you got a show tonight. Normally we would drain it, but no, you know, you got to work tonight. We don't, that might take a couple stitches. Never mind that. Go wrestle. And it took him, after he left, going to AJ's doctor and the guy looking at him going, that is a full-blown staph infection. And that's like, you know, MRSA and shit. It took him, you know, IV antibiotics and all that stuff and cut it open. He said shit hit the ceiling, all sorts of gross shit. But they just kept putting him on, you know, antibiotics in the WWE to the point where he shit himself in the ring. And, you know, just a lot of stuff like that. And he couldn't work, you know, where he had enough time off. And I honestly think if they would have handled his injuries a little better and gave him that time to rehab, I understand that, you know, it's money for him to be there and all that stuff. But, I mean, you're talking to WWE that Vince McMahon had the podcast with Stone Cold, and I listened to that today. And amongst that, he's saying that, hey, you know, Brock Lesnar doesn't have to be here because, you know, actually you don't want him there because everybody will burn out on Brock Lesnar if he's there all the time. So it's more valuable to have him there less time. Well, I mean, how do you go from not giving CM Punk even 6 weeks to rehab an injury to, oh, well, fucking Brock Lesnar could take 2 months off because, you know, it would benefit everybody if he was. You really tell me you dropped CM Punk in the height of his popularity. You dropped him off of TV for a couple of weeks and brought him back. The crowd wouldn't go bananas. I mean, look how many weeks continuously that the crowd was still chanting for CM Punk after he, you know, quote unquote, walked out, after he was gone. I mean, clearly they could have gave him that time off and it would have went over just fine, even better, you know, but they just didn't want to do that. So I can't blame the guy at all. I really can't. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of the dude. I obviously hope to see him back, you know, down the road. But, you know, who knows? Right now he's definitely completely turned off to it. And you know, you can't blame him. He definitely got enough change where he doesn't need that shit. He doesn't need to go and fucking bust his ass and, you know, travel and all of that stuff. But, you know, you're burnt out. And, he's got enough money to sit there. And, you know, like I've said in the past, he doesn't owe anybody an explanation. I'm glad that he did, you know, break the silence and everything else because even myself, I mean, I was always, like I said, Team Punk, but I wondered myself, why did he walk away right before WrestleMania? It turned out that, you know, his initial walking away, you know, from a taping, and, you know, it wasn't mid-taping, it was after the thing. And, you know, more or less expressed his displeasure with some things that were going on, just saying, like, listen, I'm done. Like, you're doing this and this, and you said you owe me, and, you know, I got this injury and that injury. You're not giving me time to heal. You're setting me up in this program. You're going to go nowhere. Like, what the fuck, dude? And just more or less said, all right, you know, I'm out of here. And within that, they put a suspension on him that went through WrestleMania. So it wasn't, hey, fucking of all times to take off, you know, it's WrestleMania. And you know, he was saying how they wanted to team him and Brian up, and he really wanted to just keep each, you know, them far apart as possible and be like the Bret and Shawn and be able to come together and work programs and, you know, kind of steal the show anytime that they needed. But not keep them so attached to each other so it's, you know, worn out. He was also saying about he was saying the Shield was more or less his creation, that they wanted him to go heel and they were going to give him a stable. And his his suggestions for the stable, they had already said, you know, Seth Rollins is one of the guys that they wanted. He suggested Dean Ambrose and he suggested Hero. And because their initial thing was a Big Show and somebody else, and Seth Rollins was going to be the stable. And he said, yeah, I'd rather it was, you know, three guys from NXT, that type of thing. So he suggested Hero and Dean Ambrose, along with Seth Rollins, who they had already suggested. Triple H immediately shot down Hero, you know, for whatever reason. And they ended up going with Roman Reigns, which he said, you know, didn't really surprise him much because, you know, that they got one of their guys. You know, they got the pretty dude, you know, along with, you know, the indie worker type guys that, you know, that they were down to go with. And then before you knew it, it was just switched and it wasn't going to be his group anymore. And, you know, it was kind of a complete surprise. But I thought it was very interesting. There's a lot of other things he put in there, too. He definitely kind of, you know, took some shots at Ryback saying that, you know, the dude fucking hurts people in the ring legitimate, like on purpose and everything. He said he kicked him in the ribs as hard as he could, which I always think is a silly statement, because as hard as he could, how do you know he's hitting any harder? You know, he can hit you hard as fuck, but I don't know if you know that, if he could hit any harder or not, but either way, that's enough thinking. You know, he kicked him in the ribs, broke his ribs, and like he hurt him several times, and he didn't want to work him anymore, and then that's when they brought him back to throw him in that TLC match, and he said he just immediately hurt him. And, you know, he just said, dude, are you you fucking trying to hurt me, or are you legitimately dumb as fuck? And this was a little, someone put this together as Ryback's new song that came off of it.
I'm dumb as fuck. I'm sorry. I'm dumb as fuck. I'm sorry. I'm dumb as fuck. I'm sorry. I'm dumb as fuck. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. Credit to whoever put that together, because it wasn't me. But yeah, you know, kind of crazy shit, the whole thing. And they're supposed to do like a part two to it this week, and you know, come up with answers to fans' questions and any follow-up questions that anybody had. So I'm looking forward to that too. He said it's good to hear his side of the story. And the WWE is only going to come up with so much of their side of the story, unless it benefits them for profit. It's not going to, you know, they're not going to jump on any of that shit. They had Stone Cold and Vince McMahon doing that thing, and Stone Cold asked about it, and the first thing Vince said is he wanted to apologize because it was kind of coincidental that he got his walking papers on the day of his wedding, and he wished it didn't go down that way, but, you know, it was coincidental and whatever. So that was his thing there. But he more or less, you know, the most of the Vince thing was completely, you know, the PC version, you know, the business owner version, where it's just like, well, here's what we need to do, and hopefully we can work together in the future, and, you know, and that's kind of what he did. He said, he's got his difficult to work with side, and, you know, he's a loner, so he's hard to, you know, actually communicate with, but we hope to work with him in the future, and this and this. So, you know, he left the door open as far as what he's saying. I mean, you could say that on an interview, get off the interview, turn around and go, that fucking guy's never working here again. But, you know, at least the fans think that it's a possibility because they love the guy, and I'm not going to shit on them. You know, clearly I'm trying to sell subscriptions over here. I can't tell them, hey, go fuck yourself. Only people to do shit like that is DJ. You know, DJ, oh, you like that guy? Well, he's never coming back, as I said so. It's like, oh, okay, good. Yeah, he does shit like that. But, the other thing that seemed to get a rise out of people was Vince said that Claudio didn't have, or Cesaro didn't have any, you know, charisma or promo ability, which I think that's the fucking truth. I don't understand why these internet marks are fucking so, you know, in an uproar about that, because it's the fucking truth. I mean, the most over Claudio was on the indies, he would get the crowd into what he was doing, by raising his hands in the air and going, hey, and, like, everyone would do that. And then he would switch hands, and they'd do it in one hand and one the other hand and whatever. But that's, like, the most, like, interaction that he's had. He was never a promo cutter. He was never a guy that, you know, had tremendous emotion. He's a tremendous wrestler, But that's his strength. I don't understand why anybody would get hurt, butthurt over the fucking truth. It is what it is. The guy's not fucking setting the world on fire with a promo. He's never has. I'll be surprised if he ever does. Yeah, between a little bit of, you know, I don't know if you call it, I guess, language barrier, or, you know, what it is, but he just doesn't come across as a guy that's going to, you know, sell himself through his, you know, vocals. He's just a guy who's going to sell himself through his athletic ability, which is fine. When they attach him to guys like Paul Heyman, that's perfect. You know, they strayed away from that. They went with Zeb Coulter for a while, did the Paul Heyman thing for a while. You know, now they kind of got him on his own, but Vince doesn't know what to do with him. Like, he said straight up, like, I don't really know. Like, he's missing something, can't put my finger on it, and, oh, shit. But, you know, the fact that the guy still has a job in a company, knowing those things, you know, it says something. Everybody that's all fucking butthurt over it, yeah, well, guy's still got a fucking job on TV. He's still working on pay-per-views. He's still, you know, on Monday Night Raw. He's still on all these things getting paid. So it is what it is. You know, hopefully, you know, everything shakes out for him in the long run where, you know, maybe he improves in some areas that they're looking for him to improve in. I don't know. Crazy to get so fucking angry about it if it's the truth. I mean, point out all the, you know, unbelievable Claudio promos. I don't think you could find them. I don't know. I'm not the biggest Chikara fan. Maybe all his promos should happen in Chikara. I don't know. No idea. But, yeah, so that's that. I'm probably going to pull some audio clips from that stuff next week. I was having all sorts of problems with this fucking computer situation today. I was on the fence about what I wanted to do. Did I want to go to the gym tonight? Which I did. But I was like, man, I could fucking edit a bunch of audio stuff. I could pull all sorts of clips from all these different crazy interviews. And I was like, no, fuck it. I'm gonna just go to the gym, do what I'm doing. And, you know, I'll just put it off till next week. I could pull a bunch of shit for next week. I did put one little project together, and, you know, I guess I'll play that for you now. This is, what would happen if DJ Hyde and Richard Simmons got together?
I became a fat mess. I was 446 pounds at one point.
When you're overweight or you feel different or you don't fit in, you have low self-worth.
True.
But when you have self-worth, you inherit the earth.
I used to love to party and drink. And when I mean drink, I would get more fucked up than most of the guys you know in wrestling, you know.
When I call 30 to 40 overweight people a day, do you think I can eat?
Eating boxes of fucking, you know, Twinkies and Hostesses and, you know, it's fast food and you don't have somebody there guiding you and it's like...
Every day you eat is every day you have to work out.
I would rather take a shit on his chest.
I love you unconditionally, even though you've got a... You know, like a sharp tongue, and you can be harsh sometimes.
I got hepatitis.
You look so handsome today, I can hardly deal with not climbing over this desk.
Basically, I'm 6'4", and I was a lot fatter back then than I am now, although I am still fat.
I am very worried about our young people, and we need to take care of them, or they're not going to live as long as their parents. And this is really something very important to me. And it's my life dream to be able to go and continue going to schools and teaching them about stretching and aerobics, cardio, and strength training. Because I want them to have a better life than I did. I don't want them to grow up to be me. I want them to be healthy.
I remember Necro beating me with a shoe.
When I went to the bathroom, they would put lighter fluid under and put a flame to it to burn me.
I let him stick syringes in my arms. I let him put them in my head.
So I'm going to really hold on to you. And, you know, you have my address. I do love red roses, but I'll take pink or white or yellow.
I had to learn. Like, dude, I'm a guy who, like I said, I fucked up every way possible. I had to learn the hard way.
I want to take my clothes off.
And I love you.
You know, when the king gets upset, he doesn't call for his wife or the cook. He calls for the court jester.
Let's try and put that in.
Just a minute.
Well, there you go. That's what would have DJ and Richard Simmons got together. Speaking of DJ and CZW and Cage of Death, it's coming up. And so far what we got is the Nation of Intoxication of Devin Moore and Lucky 13 versus Papa Don and Pepper Parks, which is a completely pointless match with no direction, which is kind of the theme of this card. This is what you're going to see throughout. You have a match, which is a best of the best qualifier. It's a scramble match, and this is going to be a phenomenal match. But again, this is just tons of talent packed into one match that should be spread out over the card, making the card that much better. But you know, Caleb Conley, Jonathan Gresham, Alex Talone, David Starr, Mike Bailey, and A.R. Fox. I mean, that match is going to be fucking bananas. So you also have a match that, Rich Swann should just be in that scramble match. Alexander James versus Rich Swann. This is, you know, them throwing fucking Alexander James a bone in this. And it's pointless. It's absolutely fucking worthless to my entertainment. It's just drawn out nonsense for the past probably about a year with this dude just being forced down people's throats. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. DJ Hyde versus Chris Dickinson. You've seen the Dickinson promos and you've seen DJ's Disney pictures. So that's the hype going into that match. I love Chris Dickinson's work. So I'm hoping that this turns into something. But, that's all I can hope for. You got Greg Excellent and ? Versus Matt Tremont and ? So we'll see how that is. That's a Norman Smiley Memorial Bunkhouse Brawl Ultra Violent Food Fight of Life and Death. So, yeah. You got Shane Strickland versus Joe Gacy in a wired title match. This, to me, just makes absolutely no sense as well, which is, again, the theme of the card. Cage of no direction. It's just booked like a random show with a cage match in it. You know, it really is. Kind of like those Mystery Vortex shows that Gorilla books that's just completely random with no direction or anything. It allows some pretty good dream matches, but really doesn't have anything built up to it. That's what Cage of Death is this year. It's no finale to all the build, the end of the road for the, what you've been building up to all year. It's none of that. And the reason I'm saying, too, it doesn't make any sense is the only build that they really had with Strickland was the thing that they were building up with Devin Moore, which they kind of built and let off, and really didn't keep, like, a consistent build on. They had him cut the whole promo about him not being, not wanting to wrestle him and calling him a drug addict and all that stuff, and then they blew that off last month in a Pains of Glass match. Well, the next month, you have Cage of Death, and then you just put him up against Joe Gacy. The only history that they really have is they traded off the Wired title on Dojo War shows. So, and I think there was two of them in between CZW shows. So you had one Dojo War show, Strickland lost the title to Gacy. Before the next CZW show, Gacy lost it back to Strickland. And then it was like, if you're watching one CZW show to the next, it's like that didn't even happen. So, I'm not saying it's going to be a bad match. I think it'll be a very good match. But a match with no stipulation and no build to it, as opposed to the Pains of Glass match you had last month that could have very well went on this show. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You have Ohio is for Killers up against the American Wolves, which I think is a really, really good match. It's going to be on that card. Looking forward to that big time. It's for the, CZW World Tag Team titles, which makes no sense because these guys have never worked there as a tag team before. There's no reason for them to get a title shot. Either way, awesome dream match. But in the same token, damn well they're not winning the titles because they won't be back next month unless they're going to, do a Brock Lesnar and book them again in a couple months. And then you have the main event of Sozio, Geez, Drew Gulak, and Biff Busick, which I honestly think is going to surprise a lot of people. Geez is no stranger to... He's been in the Cage of Death, and he's no stranger to what CZW fans want, and neither is neither is Drew Gulak. You know, these guys have been around forever, and they know what's expected out of this match. This isn't like a surprise deal, and, you know, Biff Busick is super intense. I'm sorry, Sozio doesn't belong in a main event. I don't give a shit what anybody says. And you can just look across the U.S. Indies for the past 10 years, and you'll see that all the other promoters agree with me. It's not a, you know, it's not where DJ is the genius, and he's putting a guy up top that belongs up top that no one has the balls to do or any silly shit like that. It's absolutely blatant. He's been cutting just horrible promos leading up to this. Maybe I'll pull that shit next week, too. But it's just, it's directionless, like I said. I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I always love Cage of Death, but I'm definitely not attending. I'll sit here in the comforts of my own home, you know, get a couple of fucking lobster tails and fucking sit here eating fucking pastry watching this shit. If I, you know, get bored with any of what's going on, I got fish tanks. I could stare at these. That's my favorite thing to do during DJ matches. But, you know, so that's that. I'm actually may watch on Saturday Final Battle, New York. That's in New York City. Ring of Honor. Got Jay Briscoe versus Adam Cole. A fight without honor for the ROH World Championship. That's going to be great. You got Red Dragon versus the Time Splitters, which I would never know who that is otherwise, but it's Alex Shelley and Kushida, which are very talented dudes, so that's going to be good. Jay Lethal versus Matt Sydal, awesome shit there for the TV title. The Young Bucks and ACH versus The Addiction, which I'm not sure who that is. And so Cedric Alexander, I probably know who The Addiction is, but I don't know them by the tag name. Unbreakable Michael Elgin versus Tommaso Ciampa, hard-hitting match there. And you got R.D. Evans versus Moose. I really haven't seen any of. Seen, like, pictures. He's a big fucking dude. You got Roderick Strong versus Adam Page with B.J. Whitmer and Jimmy Jacobs, and those guys will also be on the card as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Watch some more of the Ring of Honor. It's rare that I watch that, so I'm going to try to, you know, pay attention to the whole thing, but I'm kind of not the best at that. I'm going to take another break. I definitely I'm low on beats this week just because this thing. I was trying to load this shit on the blog talk, and it just wasn't. It was fucking with me today. It was rough. Before I get into that, so I'm gonna have to go back to a track I've used before. But got the Woo album, acquired the Woo album. It's absolute garbage in my opinion. The beats are just fucking noise. There's just it's almost like the entire Wu-Tang Clan all came in with like a different sound idea, and they just threw every one of them into the songs together. It's like calamity. It's just fucking crazy. Shit is all mixed together. The beats are whack. The hooks are fucking corny as hell. And, I mean, the lyrics weren't bad. I mean, the one track started out in the beginning, and it was like they started out getting you hyped, and they used a sample from ODB saying, oh, this is ODB, this not. So immediately, like, you're getting hyped. You're like, oh, shit, good. You know, obviously, you know, he's dead, but, you know, they're going to use samples from ODB, kind of include them back in the album and shit. And you could do some pretty cool things with that if, you know, you did it right. So I'm like, good, man. I got good feelings already. And then the beat kicks in, and it's just fucking mayhem. And so what the fuck is this, you know? And listen to that track. Go to the next track. It's fucking mayhem. Just the whole CD is just craziness. Just bullshit, absolute bullshit. And it's like, you know, the Wu was very innovative in their beats, but they were simple. Their shit, like, you know, can it be so simple? Like, that was such a basic beat, you know what I mean? It was some shit you didn't hear before, but it was real clear and real clean cut and just hard knock shit. And that's how that whole 36 Chambers was.
You know, and the second album, they could have definitely turned Woo Forever into a single album that was banging. But they turned it into a double album that was decent because, you put two albums worth of songs that really only needed to be one album. If you condensed that album into all the best shit on one album, it would have been fucking tight. Not quite 36 Chambers tight, but
it would have been, up there. But it lost a lot of points just packing too much shit on there. Everybody's solo albums were banging. Everybody's first solo albums were banging. And, everybody's, kind of took a decline. And a lot of their, newer shit were just garbage. And again, here Wu-Tang's back, another Wu-Tang album, and it's like, all right, good. I'm fucking happy about that. Just not good. Not good at all. So, that's upsetting. But, let me see. I think I got an old Wu-Tang shit. From Wu-Tang Forever sort of shit.
Shake the niggas. Scary hours, no money out. Smash the Guinness out. Play the outfield. Loose steel, switch cracks on shield. She's a rich fiend. Sacrifice a fan. Shift the niggas to Queens. Guest jeans, he charged 35 beans. Hit the cell phone. Regulate with well-known tone. A Wally Kingpin, who also slammed the strike position. What up, Corleone? Smoke the bone, tone foamy. What up, he tried to sling there. Address him with chrome only. Grady with the gray beard. Transport form. Rockin' Nike at Rastafari and Bird. Piping at switching Benz. Think Harry. A nigga with gold lenses, frontin' like he's sitting on a lump, he's sitting on junk. You wanna pull a heist, draw guns and robberies? You wanna rock rep, steppin' yellow wallabies, names are rain. The Century Fox, Little Glocks, them niggas with stocks, wheelie and blocks, rich lifestyle, small like an ordinary white child. But right now, sun is still shine, shed light now, break down, liquidate guard, fuck it, grab the nickel plate, Spencer for hire. Tension when we mention dryer, he's a slave cop, behave pop, but Susu Bay. Stop and blow that cat at the purple haze spot.
I remember sticking fiends at the 162 when we were starving. Ducking 5-0, paying them dues. Times is hard in the slums I'm from. They got us barred and we warring in case dodging. Ripping and robbing. Got the narc sabotaging. Slipping cracks in your camouflaging. Now you snitching on the squadron. That's something niggas can't pardon. City overrun by young gun with bad intention. And we wear garment. So I see no need to mention the potency of a sting from a killer bee. Kicking the battery out the back of the wash cracks. It's started for your get high, you hijack. These friendly skies, they for you, they for me and mine. This the year of the grimy nigga, ragtime. Keep these niggas on the run, peep my clan emblem. Iron lung ain't got to tell you where it's coming from. Catch you swimming with these sharks now, you rap villains. We feel the same way you feeling. Let it be known what the blood clot you niggas dealing. You crash dummies, cash rules, still don't nothing move but the money.
Hey yo, strong arm that kid right there with wavy hair. Billy Johnson snatched the matters whipping Times Square. Took his Pumas, nameplate, Duke lost weight. Summer 88 started a fight and can't wait. Ask Dorothy, same kid, pussy up in Marcy. Blazing that Chad Rossi up in the Marquise. He lost like 100 ounces. Jake Russ's houses, had him on the porch, ass no trousers. The souped up, individual stuff, the new stuff. Same kid crying on the stand with Judge Kuffner. Kissed him with art numbers, speed and nine style. Before he left, he flashed in his face like Denzel. Richard Dale took his beaver, unto a bowl in his whip. Mussy dropped and split his wick with the heater. His shape up was all fucked up, as he had me laughing. God, you see how he was laid out in the grass with dirt in his mouth. Slim woke him up, told me wild out. Blood leaking from his teeth, he smiled like he dumbed out. Big bolo, stacking his shit, financed the Volvo. He copping shit from a small coffee shop in Soho. He's still pussy. He sell his dust up on the Lower East, posing like he rap nominee.
All right. What else do I want to say? Oh, two other things I wanted to mention about CZW. I'll get a lot heavier into the whole CZW thing next 2 weeks, I'm sure. But, I think one, Trevor Lee definitely needs to be brought back. I think the dude's tremendously talented. His style is crazy. He's got like a real uniqueness to him. And I'm not really sure, why he hasn't been brought back. I'm sure there's some reason or maybe not. But it's crazy. They bring in certain guys. And I know, if Willie Mack is not signed by the WWE, I mean, you got to get this fucking guy back. You had him in the best of the best. He got a huge fucking please come back chant, huge pop, huge over, and then you just don't bring the fucking guy back. I mean, it's been like 2 years now. I don't really understand that type of behavior. I think it's fucking nutty. Or has it been 3 years, maybe? Jesus Christ.
something like that. It wasn't last year's best of the best. It was the one before. Oh, shit. I mean, it's been a while. But I think Trevor Lee was over. I thought he worked great and very entertaining. I also think that the Hooligan should be brought into CZW. For, you know, what they offer and this type of thing, I think they need a little bit of variety in CZW, and I think those guys are willing to do a lot. You could even put those guys, you know, versus, you know, Devin and Lucky in a non-tournament death match and a tournament of death, and I think they'd do great. You could do a lot with them. I think for big guys, they could do quite a bit, and it's just a completely different look. You know, not everybody's doing, you know, double fucking backflips and the, you know, Canadian destroyers all over the place, and, you know, they're able to, you know, do something a little different. You know, not setting the world on fire, but in the same token, it's a little bit of a different team, something that, you know, could show a little bit of fresh faces in CZW. And I think you need some of those guys that don't quite fit the mold of, you know, your most athletic guys in the world, but kind of have their part. Otherwise, it all blends together, and it's like CZW, like everything else. You know, I don't know. That's just me. A couple big trailers came out for movies, and I'm not a movie guy, but as a kid, I was always a Star Wars fan, so they put out the trailer for the new Star Wars that's going to be out next December. There are some, you know, people, you know, with the dumb racist shit about there's a black guy, what's with this, I don't know, but it is funny that it kind of reminds you of the old Spaceballs when they had the black dudes in the desert. They were like the Spaceballs version of Stormtroopers. And they were using an Afro pick to comb through the desert. And they're going, we ain't found shit. You know, they were searching for the a princess or what have you. But, yeah, I don't see what the issue is whatsoever. They were saying on Stern, same point goes, is this is the future. There's talking animals and aliens and all this type of shit. Really, there's no different color people. I'm pretty sure that's completely acceptable. And they had Lando Calrissian back in the day. What the fuck is the issue? I don't understand at all. Visually it looks awesome. It has some really cool effects, some really cool stuff there, but that doesn't just sell me. I got to see that I can connect with, I'll watch it, but I got to see that I can connect with the story and the characters and all that type of shit. Because the last three just kind of completely lost me as far as that connection. You know, the second one was horrible. The first one with Jar Jar Binks, it was kind of fun or whatever, but you know, obviously, you know, had its negative reviews, and it was all right. It was kind of fun. But, you know, when you compare them to the initial, you know, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, you can't compare. That's a really hard act to follow. And I thought the second one was absolute shit. And the third one, you know, they stepped it up with a lot more action and stuff. But at that point, I was already just like, all right, enough of this shit. And, you know, so this one has a lot of expectations to meet. The trailer that I was way more into and way more fucking looking forward to is the new Jurassic Park, Jurassic World. I'm a big fan of the Jurassic Park series. Even the third one was good. You know, obviously didn't match up to the first two, but this is top fucking notch shit that they're doing here. This, they upgraded everything. They got the, you know, the park reopening. They have these little, you know, glass spheres that you can go, gyrospheres or whatever fuck, and, you know, go through the park in that, so you see the dinosaurs, like, all around you that way. They showed, you know, clips of them going down a river with, like, Stegosaurus on both sides and shit, so you're, like, paddling down a river with dinosaurs and shit. That's awesome. They have the aquatic dinosaurs, and that shit looks crazy. They show a clip of, they're holding, like, a great white above the water, big-ass great white. This fucking thing comes out of the water, and they have it set up like a stadium, like it's a, you know, like a dolphin show or something, but this massive thing comes out and just eats the thing, you know. And they're supposedly building like a crossbred dinosaur, like inventing a new dinosaur with the DNA. And this fucking thing gets loose, obviously, and a whole panic and stuff like that. But I'm looking forward to it. It looks fucking awesome by everything that they pitched with it. And that's out in June, so I'm absolutely going to see that. I want to try to see that in, like, IMAX. I've never been to an IMAX. I'm just not that much of a movie guy. But I don't want to do that 3D shit. I don't like the fucking crazy glasses, and I don't like the thought of that. So I definitely want to see it. I'm going to see if I can get, like, an IMAX, but no 3D, just big and fucking loud and all that stuff. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Let me see what I got. I'm still going to get into the football. Obviously, starting with the Thanksgiving games. And let me go to the scores, because, you know, I did that earlier with your preparation. Let me see. So you had the Lions beat the Bears. They kind of expected. The Lions are supposed to be a better team, so it doesn't make any sense for them to lose to the Bears. So they beat the shit out of them. Eagles beat the shit out of the Cowboys. The Cowboys are definitely turning a bad corner here. They're just looking helpless. And I picked the Cowboys, and it was like the first drive of the game. I think the Eagles were only up 7-0, and I knew right off the bat there's no chance in hell the Cowboys are winning this game. The Eagles just came out looking like a million times stronger team. They really did. I mean, you just knew the Eagles were just going to win this game. They just looked so much stronger. They looked like the team that should be at the head of that division, not the Cowboys. So, but that's kind of what Tony Romo and the Cowboys do. They take a nosedive in fucking December. So they came a little early, and that'll be that. Hopefully they just keep on declining and drop themselves out of playoff contention. I hope the same thing for the Packers. Then the night game was the biggest disappointment of my night, was the Seahawks beating the shit out of the 49ers. Now, I mean, there was turnovers, three fucking turnovers, and it was only 19-3, which is still a rout because we only put up three fucking points. But considering that there was three turnovers, our quarterback threw for 121 yards on the day. Frank Gore rushed for 28 yards. Just fucking horrendous as far as our offensive production. 164 total offensive yards. Just terrible. But our defense played awesome fucking football. That much I'll say. Is the Seahawks completely dominated our offense. Our offense couldn't get anything going. And it wasn't just the Seahawks' tremendous defense or anything. Richard Sherman intercepted two balls. That motherfucker had the ball thrown directly to him the first time. That shit, like, there was nothing athletic about his play. Our fucking guy threw him the fucking ball. I mean, Cap couldn't have thrown the ball any more near Richard Sherman and away from his player than what he did. So, I mean, he's just standing in the place where the ball was. It is what it is there. I blame our offense a lot more than I give their defense credit for what they did. Obviously, their defense is no joke, and, you know, they played well. But compared to, like, our opportunities, man, everybody had fucking balls bouncing off their hands and just fucking crazy, man. Everybody was getting balls thrown at them, just fucking drop them. We had opportunities for all sorts of shit, and it's just, nope. You know, and just continuous drives where we're just bailed out on third down and long, just run the ball because they already know it's fucking done. You know, just dumb shit. So, I mean, they got a lot to rebound from now. Their possibility to go to the playoffs still, they got to run the table, or, you know, they could just win the two divisional games, which is not likely to happen, honestly. To be an optimist is fine. I'm always more of a realist, which, you know, is kind of where I don't even want to get myself in trouble because I don't give a fuck what people think, but I always see things realistically. So if I say something negative about it, because I think that's how it is. If I say something positive, because I legitimately like it, I don't say shit to say shit.
And I have a hard time believing that the 49ers are going to make a run for the playoffs. If they do, fantastic. How far can they possibly go in the playoffs playing this type of football? You can't put up more than 3 points in a game at home. You know, I mean, that's fucking horrendous. And they have to play the Seahawks in Seattle. So as hard as the game was for the 49ers, it's got to be harder in Seattle. Seattle is a hard, hard, difficult place to play. So, I mean, good luck with that shit, man. We got the Raiders this week, and they could talk all this, oh, we got to attack. We got to, yeah, good, attack the fucking Raiders. They just lost 52-0, the Raiders. We're going to go in there and have a fucking slugfest with them. What kind of shit is this? Watch. We're not going to beat them by 52. I don't see we beat the Raiders by 30. Take 20 of those fucking 22 points away. I don't think we put up 30 fucking points on the Raiders. I would like to see it. I'd be surprised, though, if it happens. I think our defense will be dominant, though. I think our defense will actually create a lot of opportunities for our offense. Do we execute? I don't know. But, again, it's the Raiders. The following week, we go into Seattle. Then we go... not sure if it's into, let me find out. I know we play the Chargers, who are a tough team, one of those teams you don't want to play. Okay, we're at home against San Diego, and then we're at home against Arizona, who's still sitting up first place in our division. So we got to come out of that and fucking beat them too. You know, it's not an easy final stretch. We got the Raiders as a warm-up for three hard fucking games. So, I mean, we'll see, man. I think after the season, Harbaugh is fucking gone. And I'm hoping that we're able to keep Vic Fangio and possibly, you know, put him in. Going to go on and Harbaugh is gone. I would like to see Harbaugh without Greg Roman in there, but from what I'm hearing, it's kind of a package deal. You're going to lose him. You're going to lose them both. And so what can you do? The Colts beat the shit out of the Redskins and, you know, 5 fucking touchdowns by luck. The Texans beat up on the Titans. The Bills beat the Browns, and this was weird, man, because they pulled Hoyer out of the game and put in Manziel for whatever reason, and now they're going back to Hoyer. So I don't like that type of look, man. The Browns are 7-5. Why switch your fucking starting quarterback? I don't care what's going on in that game. That really fucks with morale. You want to run some tricky little plays or something like that. He ran into the touchdown for a touchdown, but and their only touchdown of the day. But I don't know. I don't like that idea. So hopefully Hoyer bounced back this week and, you know, shows that he is the starting quarterback, because I don't think Manziel at this point in the season needs to be thrown in there. I didn't think in the beginning of the season either, because I think Hoyer's a viable quarterback. But the Chargers beat the Ravens by a point. Chargers 8-4, Ravens 7-5. The Jaguars beat the Giants by a point. Just crazy shit. Two fucking horrible teams. Beckham's a fucking animal, though. That dude can catch the shit out of the ball. He's gonna be something, man. The Bengals barely beat the Bucks. A lot of B's. Crazy shit there. The Bengals are supposed to be a lot better, and they're 8-3-1, and they should be playing a lot better than this than scraping out a victory against the Bucks. Fuck. The Rams, like I said, beat the Raiders 52-0. What kind of shit is this? The Saints beat the Steelers. The Saints are they're coming on strong late. It's too late for them. They're 5-7. I'm pretty sure, but their division is horrible. And the Steelers, you know, they're kind of starting to drop off late. Breeze threw 5 touchdowns. The Vikings beat up on the Panthers. The Cardinals lost to the Falcons, which makes me think, you know, that the Cardinals are on their way down, which we kind of need them to be to get into the playoffs and likely be upset there. You know, I'm going to root for my guys every opportunity they get, for sure. But I'm just, again, being realistic that, I mean, come on, man. You can't put up 3 points in a game. Just the mistakes is ridiculous. The Raiders game, I expect to win. You know, they call trap game all they want, whatever. But like I said, these final three games of the season will speak to our identity. If we come out like fucking monsters and fucking beat the next those last three teams, I'll feel confident going into the playoffs. If not, well, you know, it is what it is. The Packers beat the Patriots. They're both 3 now. Packers are undefeated at home this season. So that's something to fucking look at. Broncos beat the Chiefs. Dolphins beat the Jets. And let me see. Go into these picks real quick. And let me see. Dallas at Chicago. So Dallas plays Thursday night games 2 weeks in a row. They're at Chicago. Dallas is favored by 3.5 points after getting beat like that by Philly. I think they absolutely need this game. A team like Chicago is going to give them every opportunity to beat them. And I think Dallas wins. Giants at Tennessee. Giants got to beat Tennessee. St. Louis at Washington. St. Louis just beat the living shit out of the Raiders. Washington's a little better than that. St. Louis favored by 2.5. I don't think better enough where they're going to beat St. Louis. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's favored by 3.5 notch right now. And neither is Pittsburgh, but I think Pittsburgh gets this one. This is going to be, you know, kind of crunch time for one of these teams to start playing like they're supposed to. That's a tough division. Indy at Cleveland. Indy's favored by 3.5 points. I got to go with Indy. That identity crisis over there at quarterback is a big deal. And Indy's playing good football, so they're going to have a hard time beating Indy. Carolina and New Orleans. New Orleans is favored by 9.5 points. I think they blow Carolina up. They're not the team that they were last year. Their defense is a joke. Used to be fucking huge, huge problem over there on defense. Fucking with them, and now it's you know, they could roll over them, especially New Orleans, you know, 5 touchdowns last week, and yeah, Drew Brees is going to take advantage of them. Houston at Jacksonville. Houston's favored by 4.5. Man, J.J. Watt's over there still scoring touchdowns. It's crazy. Houston's going to go in there and win. Tampa Bay at Detroit. Detroit's favored by 9.5. I think Detroit wins this one, hopefully by 10+. Jets at Minnesota. Minnesota's favored by 5.5, and I think Minnesota stomps the Jets. Baltimore at Miami. Miami's favored by 3.5, but I got to go with Baltimore. Buffalo at Denver. Denver's favored by 10.5, and they know how to put up fucking points, so it's hard to bet against them going with Denver. Kansas City at Arizona. Arizona is slipping. Arizona's home favored by 1.5. I think they take another loss here to Kansas City. Seattle at Philadelphia. Philly's favored by 1.5 coming off of that slaughter of the Cowboys. And Seattle, man, I'm telling you, we did not play good football. Our defense stepped up and, you know, held them to 19 points despite 3 turnovers and everything else. But I think Philly beats the Seattle Seahawks. San Francisco at Oakland, favored by 7.5 points. You know, Jesus Christ. Fucking team last week beat them by 52 points. They could have been favored by 50 and they would have still covered the spread. I hope we cover 7.5 points against the fucking Raiders. Justin Tuck came out saying it's going to be a bloodbath. I don't understand when you get beat by 52 points and score 0 points, you have the balls to come out and be like, yeah, fucking come get us next week. Like, get the fuck out of here. I mean, I don't doubt that because they stopped having preseason games against each other because they were stabbing each other in the fucking parking lot. The Raiders and the Niner fans are not fucking friendly at all. So, you know, I understand a bloodbath. Hopefully it's not, you know, in the parking lot. But in the same token, man, the Raiders shouldn't even be talking shit about nothing. They should be worrying about getting more than one win this season because that's all they got. New England at San Diego. This should be a good game, but I think New England is just tough in December. So I expect that trend to stay a consistent theme. Atlanta at Green Bay. And Green Bay's favored by 11.5 points, and they're playing great fucking football. They haven't lost at home. Green Bay all day, blowing them up. So I think that's all I got for tonight.
And instead, I'll be back next week. Some more shit to cover and whatnot. Check you motherfuckers out next. Check out Wrestling Soup on Thursday. Check out Sports Den. I think they're on tonight. Check out Stern Nation over the weekend. And I'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.